John 14, beginning in verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." Let's pray again. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you so much for giving us such a beautiful and glorious Savior. And Father, we thank you for His words, Lord, that we have recorded for us in this gospel, that we can know what our lover husband, our King, our conqueror, our commander has said to us, that we might follow Him. And so, Holy Spirit, we beg you to be among us right now to instruct us from your word. Oh God, we confess that we are desperate and helpless. And Father, this time we spend together will be vain and pointless unless you send your Spirit. So we beg you, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit. Give me your Spirit that I might say only what you want me to say in the way that you want me to say it, in humility and truth, with tears and brokenness. And God, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit among all the hearers here, that you might give eyes to see and ears to hear, that they might taste and see that Jesus Christ is good. God, we pray you would raise the dead today. If there are any among us, Lord, that don't know you, that don't know Christ, God, we pray you would save them, change their lives forever today. And God, for those of us who already know you, Lord, we want to be changed today. We want to love you more and trust you more and obey you more and be more satisfied in you and be more faithful husbands and more faithful wives and more faithful parents and more faithful children and a more faithful pastor, more faithful laborers in your kingdom. And so, God, we beg you to come down. We don't deserve you to come and help us. We don't deserve to have your Spirit, but we come begging on the name of Jesus. He was worthy. He deserves it, God. So because of Jesus, we pray you would send your Spirit down in power and move and change and save and heal and glorify your name, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen. This passage in the Bible is very precious to me because it is one that God used in a powerful way to bring me to Himself. I grew up in church. I grew up going to church every Sunday. I grew up going to Easter Sunday and being very excited about the things of the Lord, so I thought. I was a church kid, and what some might call a goody two-shoes. You did what your parents asked and made good grades in school and was on the fast track to wherever. But for the first 18 years of my life, no matter how good that outward appearance may have been, no matter how much church attendance I did, No matter how much I outwardly seemed committed to Jesus and His church, I was on my way to hell. And I was in a high school in Little Newton, North Carolina, in a world cultures class where the teacher was teaching about world religions and basically saying that all the different religions in the world are just different roads to the same God. And I knew that wasn't what I was taught in Sunday school. And I had a friend in that class, Sam Cho. Thank God for Sam Cho. For you Koreans in the crowd, Jesus Christ, Ajuaram Dawayo. And God used Sam Cho to help me see that Jesus Christ is Ajuaram Dawayo, which means beautiful. Beautiful inside and out in every way. And my friend Sam, he stood up to the teacher and he said, "No, Jesus is the only way to God." And I knew at that point, I can't say that. I can't say that, as my friend said that. I don't know if that's true. I know that's what I've been taught all my life. That's what I've been brought up to believe. But what about the little Hindu boy in India? Or the Muslim boy in Pakistan who grew up just like I did and was taught a different religion? How do I know that he's wrong, they're wrong, and this Christianity I've always been taught is right? How do I know that? And that began to push me on a search for what is the truth. What is the truth? Who is this Jesus? Who is this Christ? Is He truly, genuinely the only way back to God? The only way to be saved? And God, by His mercy, through His Spirit, led me to the truth that yes, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and no one can come to the Father except through Him. And you better get on board, Joseph, and go to Pakistan and India and tell that little Hindu boy so that he might be saved. Because he needs to know. The world needs to know about the Savior. And so I want to look with you this morning at this passage that so changed my life, and I pray will change yours. In John chapter 13, which is the chapter preceding where our text is found, in chapter 14, Jesus has just told His disciples that one of them will betray Him. And He's told Peter that Peter would deny Him three times. And He's told the disciples that He's going to leave them. They're discouraged. They're discouraged. Their hearts are troubled, and Jesus in this first part of chapter 14 is comforting His disciples. And in the midst of His efforts to comfort their hearts because of all that's coming that they'll face, Thomas asks Jesus a question in response to what Jesus had told Peter in John 13 verse 36. Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, where are You going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow Me now, but you will follow afterward." And in response to this statement of Jesus, Thomas says in verse 5 of chapter 14, "Lord, we do not know where You are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." If you're following in your outline, point number one, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. Notice the end of verse 6 says, "No one comes to the Father except through Me." Jesus is the only way then, now, and forever. He was not, as some would make you believe, the Imam of the time, the only way of the time. No, He is the way then, now, and forever, the only way to God. One of the reasons we ought to celebrate Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday every day of our lives is because we are so profoundly aware that we lost the way and Jesus is the only way. So I'm going to start with the fact that we've lost the way. Because Jesus will not mean much to you if you don't realize you've lost the way. So I hope you'll hear this as an attempt for me to love you. I've got to love you in this way that's sometimes painful. It sometimes offends people for me to tell you that you've lost the way. But unless you know you're lost, you will not rejoice in the amazing grace that finds you. So first, you have lost the way. If you are here this morning and you are not a believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, are you aware that you have lost your way? Is it not obvious to everyone here that we as human beings have lost our way? Just in the last half of last week in Alney neighborhood, this little section on God's planet, just the last half, the first half of the last week in Alney, these are the reported crimes, just reported. Assault, 200 block Widener Street. Theft, 200 block North Front Street. Theft, 100 block East Alney. Robbery, 100 block 5th Street. Burglary, 600 block East Alney Avenue. Theft, 100 block East Alfie Avenue. Theft, 5500 block Rising Sun Avenue. Theft, 100 block East Alney Avenue. Robbery, Rising Sun Avenue. Robbery, 300 block East Chew Avenue. Burglary, 5900 block North 4th Street. Theft, 400 block West Rockland Street. Theft, 5100 block D Street. Burglary, 100 block Roosevelt Boulevard. Theft, 5700 block North 5th Street. That's half of last week in Little Alney. And one of our members just told me this morning that the Target where she worked got robbed last night, $10,000. Friend, the world has lost its way. But for many of us, all that I just said, that's out there. It's out there. But what about in here? What about your own heart? Pastor Joseph, what about your heart? What's going on in your heart? Do you realize that you have lost your way? What will most help you to see this is to understand God's high standard of perfection. God expects perfect righteousness. Perfect righteous living in all of your actions, in all of your thoughts, in all of your feelings. God's standard is absolute, undefiled, pure holiness and perfection. His standard is to love Him with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls, and with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor with as much passion and creativity and love as we love ourselves. Children, God expects perfection from you in your relationship with your parents. God expects perfection. He expects you to obey what your parents tell you immediately, without question or delay, with a smile on your face and joy in your heart. That's God's standard. That alone sends your pastor to hell, because he did not do that as a little boy. Parents, God expects perfection from you in how you train and disciple and love your children and are patient with them and only discipline out of love and care for their soul. To never lose your temper with them. Ever. Not once. That's God's standard. Friends, God expects perfection from us in how we use our sexuality as a gift from Him. He expects perfection. He expects sex to only be enjoyed in marriage, one man and one woman for life. That's Jesus' standard. And He expects that in our minds as well. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 27 through 28, "You have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you," it always gives me tingles when I hear Jesus quote Yahweh speaking, "You shall not commit adultery," and then say, "But I say to you," who is this man? Who is this man? No man spoke like this man. "But I say to you, that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Guilty. Guilty. God expects us to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth at all times, in every way, with every word that comes from our lip and every thought that comes from our heart. Friends, we've lost the way. Oh God, I pray right now that Your Spirit would fall upon us and those who may be here that do not know they have lost the way. Holy Spirit, convict of sin, convict of righteousness, convict of judgment, and show them they've lost the way. For those who do not know they've lost the way, You must do it, oh God. Show them they've lost the way. Show them their sin. For Jesus' sake. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Jesus is the only way back. Jesus is the only way for us to get back to our Heavenly Father, because He's the only one who never lost His way. He never lost His way. Not once. Not once in thought, word, deed, action, any way else. Jesus kept the way, obeyed the way, showed the way, is the way. He always and only went the righteous way. He made a way when there was no way. He spoke the way in such a way that people would say, no way. No man ever spoke this way. He's not only went the way, made a way when there was no way, and spoke the way so people said no way, but He is the way. He is the way. He Himself was, is. Amen. He's worthy to clap for. He's worthy to get excited for. He's worthy. More than all the praises that come from Lincoln Financial Field, Jesus is worthy to get excited about. He Himself was, is, and will be the way for all eternity. He always and only went the righteous way. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows what you're facing. He knows your temptations. He knows your struggles. He knows the burdens that you carry. He can sympathize. He's not a far-off God, a transcendent God, though He is, but He came close. God came among us. He lived among us. He felt the suffering and the pain. He fought temptation and He conquered. He was without sin. He made a way when there was no way. He did it all over the place. He healed the sick. He made the blind to see. He cleansed lepers. He made the lame walk. He made the deaf hear and the mute speak. He forgave sins. Only God can forgive sins. He forgave sins. He raised the dead, and He Himself rose up from the dead. In one discussion Jesus was having with His disciples, the disciples said, "Who then can be saved?" Talking about salvation. And Jesus said, "With man it is impossible, but with God, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Oh, friend, He can make a way for you when you feel there is no way. I'm sure people are here this morning and they have situations, they have burdens, they have fears, woes, troubles, hardships, heartbreaks in your life, and you say, there is no way. There's no way out of this one. I've talked to friends before who are in marriages, and they go on a 30-minute tirade on the phone telling me how this one's impossible, Pastor. This is impossible. This won't work out. This is dead. This is gone. This is in the grave. To which I respond, well, that's a good place to be. That's a good place to be, because you know what? God raises the dead. God does what's impossible. And I don't know if that's what He wanted to hear, but that's our God. That's our God. He's the God of the impossible, the God of the resurrection, which we celebrate this morning. And so, if you're here this morning with a burden you think you have no way out of, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way when there is no way. He spoke the way in such a way that made people say, no way. No man ever spoke this way. John 7:46, the officers that the Jewish leaders had sent to arrest Jesus came back and said, no one ever spoke like this man. No one ever spoke like this man. Jesus Himself said in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away. Do you take Jesus' words as your orders? No matter how inconvenient or painful or sacrificial His call is, have you decided to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. Do you take Jesus' words as your orders, as your commands from the great High King Commander? Do you take them as your delightful duty to obey? Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Friend, don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. We can get real excited about Jesus, and I love that. I want that. I love the amens. I love the clapping and the cheering, and yes, Christ is worthy. Yes, Christ is all. But when He tells you to do something you really don't want to do, like stay married when it's really hard, do you get excited then and say, "I'm following Jesus. This is going to be painful. This is going to hurt, but I'm following Jesus." Amen. When Jesus says, "Sex is for marriage only," do you love sex more than Jesus? Or are you going to follow Jesus? These are the dilemmas we face who we want to get excited about Christ. He wants your life and the way you live to get excited about Christ. You see, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And friend, when I say that, I'm not calling you to some joy-killing burden. I'm calling you to abundant, joyful, amazing, glorious life. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So if you want the abundant life, the joyful life, the life that is not settling for two-bit, low-yield, sinful pleasures that last for a moment and then are gone, but you want fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, if you want to drink of the river of His delights, come to Christ. Quit filling around with this weak, empty pleasure. And come to God, who is fullness of pleasure. Do you take Jesus Himself as your only way? He Himself is your only way to escape the wrath to come. He is the only one who saves from the wrath to come. He is the only one who can save you from your sins. Friend, there's no payment for sin in any other religion. That means no other religion is a just religion. Because they don't pay for sin. They just sweep it under the rug and say, "Forget about it." Our God can't forget about it. It must be paid for. Sin must be paid for. All sin deserves hell. And you can either take Jesus as your substitute, who, as it were, went to hell for you, and be free from wrath and judgment forever. Or you can reject Him and suffer the pains of hell forever. Oh, He came to save you. His desire is to save. He does not delight in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their evil ways and live. He is not slack concerning His promise, but He desires that all should come to repentance and a knowledge of the truth. He Himself is your only way to be delivered from the power of sin in your life. He not only saves from the condemnation and guilt and shame of sin, He saves from the power of sin. So that when you trust Him, you're no longer a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness and holiness. That was a huge change in my life when God came upon me in high school. I loved sin. I loved sin before I met Jesus. But when I met Jesus, I began to hate it. and want to follow my Savior. He delivered me from the power of sin. He Himself is your only way to find joy and meaning and purpose in life. He Himself is your only way to be fully satisfied with fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. He Himself is your only way back to your loving Heavenly Father who gave His Son and crushed His Son in your place that you might be saved. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. I thought I could re-say the points and say, Christ is all the way. Christ is all the way. Point number two, Jesus is all the truth. Jesus is the only truth. Jesus Christ is the true God, and He is God's final true word to us. John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. If you're here this morning and you're Jehovah's Witnesses, your Bible has lied to you. They've inserted A. The Word was a God. There's no indefinite article in the Greek language. The Word was God Almighty. And if you need further proof of that, keep reading verse 2 and 3. He was in the beginning with God. Listen to this, verse 3. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That means He wasn't made. Because nothing that was made apart from Him. He made everything. He's God Almighty. Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is Jehovah. He's not only God in the flesh, fully God, fully man. He did not lay His deity aside when He came to earth. He is fully God, fully man, on earth at all times. And He is God's final word to us. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. He's God's final word to us. There is no prophet to come after Jesus. He is God's final yea and amen on all of God's promises. John 16, verses 7 and 13 through 14, Jesus said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper or the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." And I have friendly dialogue with my Muslim friends, and they want to tell me that the Helper, the Comforter is Muhammad. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're a Muslim, that's not true. That's a lie. The Helper, the Comforter, is the Holy Spirit of God Himself. And the chapter tells us that. Look at verses 13 and 14. Who is this Helper to come? When the Spirit of truth comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. Notice verse 14. He will glorify Me. Jesus says the Spirit will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. So it's all about Jesus. The Spirit comes to glorify Jesus, to make much of Jesus, to point people to Jesus, who is the only truth. Jesus is the only truth. He's all truth. He is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Allah is not the truth. Jesus is the truth. Muhammad is not the truth. Jesus is the truth. Buddha is not the truth. Jesus is the truth. Hinduism is not the truth. Jesus is the truth. Judaism is not the truth. And this is historical truth that happened in history, unlike every other religion. Justin Taylor comments, Michael Patton, author of Now That I'm a Christian, What It Means to Follow Jesus, writes, "The believer in the Islamic faith has to trust in a private encounter Muhammad had, and this encounter is unable to be tested historically. We have no way to truly investigate the claims of Joseph Smith. And when we do, they are found wanting. Buddhism and Hinduism are not historic faiths, meaning they don't have central claims of events in time and space which believers are called upon to investigate. You either adopt their philosophy or you don't. There is no objective way to test them. Run through every religion that you know of and you will find this to be the case. Either it does not give historic details to the central event, the event does not carry any worldview-changing significance, or there are no historic events which form the foundation of the faith. And then he gives this example, how Christianity started. After a public ministry, Christ was killed publicly. Christ rose from a public tomb publicly. Christ publicly showed himself to the public. The public told everyone what they saw. And when Paul wrote his letters, the 500 witnesses that were still alive would have been able to say, no, this didn't happen. I didn't see this. But they didn't. He was seen by over 500 witnesses. The grave clothes were folded. He wasn't stolen. He's alive. He's alive. How other religions started? A private dream about God, or a private angelic encounter about God, or a private idea about God, and one person told everyone what he saw. Jesus is the only truth. He's all truth. Because, as I've already said, He is God in the flesh. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Does that ever just sort of shake you back? I am, the name of God, the name Yahweh, that God told Moses to tell His people, brought him out of Israel, tell them that I am has sent you. And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. When Jesus said that, when they came to arrest Him in the Gospel of John, they said, "Where is Jesus of Nazareth?" And He said, "I am," and everybody fell back. John 20:28, doubting Thomas, remember him, said, "I got to see the nail prints. I got to see the spear in the side." And Jesus appears to him and says, "Here I am, Thomas. Here I am. Don't be unbelieving, but be believing." And Thomas calls Jesus my Lord and my God. John 14:9, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father," Jesus said. Colossians 1:16-17, "For by Him," by Jesus, "all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Colossians 1:19, "For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Oh friend, Jesus is the truth. And He is the truth whether you believe it or not. It's not because we believe it that He's the truth. He is the truth, was the truth, will be the truth forever, whether you believe it or not. But friend, we want you to embrace Him as your truth. As your truth. We want you to know Him as God Jehovah, God Almighty, and be saved. Because friend, unless you can say to Him like Thomas, "My Lord and my God," unless you can call Jesus "my Lord and my God," you cannot be saved. You must come to Jesus for who He is. And He is Lord, Master, and God. Won't you believe Him today? Today is the day of salvation. Believe the Son. Believers, believe the Son. Believe the Son afresh. Enjoy the Son afresh. Treasure the Son afresh in all His fullness of the way and the truth. And finally, Jesus is the only life. Jesus is all life. We're here to celebrate the resurrection. He's life. He's life. I love the text Michael read, John 11:25-26, when Jesus goes to a funeral of Lazarus, whom He loves, and He's seeking to comfort His sisters, and He says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this, that you'll never die? Yes, you will die physically unless the Lord comes back. But friend, you will not die eternally. You will not die spiritually. You will live forevermore because we have a risen Savior who conquered sin, who conquered death, who conquered hell. As Shaolin has said, Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Gandhi and Haile Selassie are dead. Elijah Muhammad is dead. However, Jesus is alive. I love to tell that on Broad and Olney. I love to proclaim that. You need a living Savior. A dead Savior won't help you. A dead prophet ain't going to help you. You need a living Savior, a living God. And the reason there's death in the world is because of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Jesus came to give life and give it abundantly. Abundantly. Friend, the holiest people are the happiest people. The holiest people are the happiest people. If you're coming to Christianity as a list of rules, of do's and don'ts, and if I do this, I don't have no more fun. This is boring. And friend, you need eyes to see that God is calling you to something so much greater. It's more like falling in love with a lover who will delight your soul like nothing has ever delighted your soul, or no one has ever delighted your soul before. That's what it's like to come to Jesus. My Savior, my lover, my friend, altogether lovely. No one like Him. Jesus can give you life. He can give you eternal life with Him forever. And He can give you life right now. Life free from sin. Life free from addiction. Life free from the bottle. Life free from marijuana and cocaine. Life free from needing this or that relationship to make you feel wanted or loved. I like that song, if you got King Jesus, you don't need nobody else. Wish we could get that going on right now. Who sings that? Who sings that, Ted? Ted introduced me to Mahalia Jackson. If you got King Jesus, you don't need nobody else. God, help us believe that. Help us believe that. Jesus is the way to life, to free you from living for yourself and to live for Him and for others. Jesus is the life that can save you from hell, can save you from the wrath to come, to save you from God's judgment. And the reason that He can do that and be that and is that is that He gave His life in place of sinners. He laid His life down. He suffered the pains of hell on that cross and then rose up from the dead that He might have life forevermore and give you life forevermore if you repent and believe in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the only life. Jesus is all life. Christ is all life. If you were here on Friday night, I read a little poem by Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. I love Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. He's one of the reasons I write those little poems at the end of each of my sermons. And it was called "It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming." It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I want to read it all again right now, but I wrote one for you today based on that, called "It's Sunday, but His Return is Coming." It's Sunday, but His return is coming. It's Sunday. The devil couldn't defeat Him. Sin couldn't stop Him. Death couldn't handle Him. The grave couldn't hold Him. And His return is coming. It's Sunday. The tomb is empty. The grave clothes are folded. The stone has been removed. The sun is risen. His work is finished. And we all know that His return is coming. It's Sunday. Hope has been restored. Sin has been conquered. Death has been defeated. The strong man has been bound. Now all the nations will come to Him. You see, He was the deceiver of the nations, right? The strong man's bound, and now the nations flood in. Every tribe and tongue and people and nation. They'll all come before His return is coming. It's Sunday. Mary is crying. The disciples are trembling. But soon they'll be rejoicing, and then they'll be preaching and telling the whole world about Him, calling all men everywhere to repent and believe in Him, because His return is coming. It's Sunday. The priests are bribing. The elders are lying about what happened. The soldiers are telling stories. And the Jews are believing the lie that His body was stolen. But His return is coming. It's Sunday. On the Emmaus Road, Jesus' new light has bestowed. From Moses to the prophets, He has showed. It's all about Him. The word is sowed. All allegiance to Him is fully owed, because His return is coming. It's Sunday. Thomas is doubting. But soon he'll be shouting as he touches the scars of his dear Savior. And then he'll be declaring Jesus as his Lord and his God. And someday all will be proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, either willingly or unwillingly, because His return is coming. It's Sunday. Peter's gone fishing, ashamed that he denied his Master. But soon he'll be restored. Oh, Peter, do you love me? Yes, soon he'll be restored by His loving, merciful, and patient King, who will send him to feed His sheep, because His return is coming. It's Sunday. His disciples will be commissioned to teach others to obey all He has commanded, and all but one of them will die to lift His name on high. But all their enemies don't know His return is coming. It's Sunday. But His return is coming. Are you ready? He's coming back on a white war horse to make war. His name is faithful and true in the Word of God. His eyes are like a fire of flame. A sharp sword comes out of His mouth. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. People will cry out for mountains and rocks to fall on them to shield them from the wrath of the Lamb. His wrath and judgment are coming. It's only Sunday. It's only Sunday right now. There's still time to accept the terms of peace of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's only Sunday. There's time for you to turn from your sins and trust in Him and accept His terms of peace. It's only Sunday. But His return is coming. It's Sunday. The new creation has begun. There is now no condemnation for those at peace in Him. All our sins have been forgiven. God has cast them behind His back, and He remembers them no more. As far as the east is from the west, so He has removed our transgressions from us. He has cast them into the ocean floor. We are now to walk in the newness of holy lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves of righteousness, because His return is coming. It's Sunday. All things are now working for our good. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ, all things are ours. And though there's still a lot of pain and suffering, His return is coming. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. Sin is still tempting. The world is still deceiving. The flesh is still warring. The devil is still prowling. Children are still being abused and dying. Racism is still dividing. Cancer is still killing. Wombs are still barren. Marriage is still hard. Singleness is still lonely. Hopes are still deferred. Dreams are still broken. But His return is coming. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. People are still poor. Loved ones still die. Tragedies still undo us. Crime is still rampant. Abortion is still killing. Airplanes are still disappearing. Ferry boats are still sinking with young high school students on board. All manner of heartbreaks are still happening. Tears are still flowing. But let me tell you something. His return is coming. And on that great day, on that great day, on that great day of everlasting wedding day, He will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more sin. There will be no more death. There will be no more pain. There will be no more heartbreak of any kind. There will be no more loss, no more loneliness. There will be no more sadness, but only ever increasing joy for all eternity. There will be a new heavens and a new earth where only perfect, pure, perpetual righteousness dwells. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You will be eternally saved, safe, and satisfied beyond your greatest imagination, and everything sad will become untrue. It's Sunday, but it's only Sunday. But His return is coming. Amen. Oh, Lord, we praise You. God, we praise You that You are so good to us. Lord, good to us. You are good, Lord. You are gracious. You are merciful. You are slow to anger. You are abounding in steadfast love. And You relent from doing harm, for You poured out all the harm that we deserve on Your Son on that cross and raised Him up victorious today. Up from the grave He arose, a mighty conqueror of His foes. And Lord, we praise Him today. And Lord, we long for His return. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come on the good days. Come on the bad days. We long for You to come and wrap up history and make it all right. But Lord, until that day, Father, we pray You would use us as Your ambassadors. Lord, to go into all the world and proclaim the good news that Christ has lived, Christ has died, Christ has risen. And Father, we pray that You would save myriads through our witnesses and make disciples. We ask this for Jesus' sake. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.